Following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Podfather, Nate here. You are listening to the Journey into Comics Network Best of the Week Highlights Show. This has got highlights from all shows across the network this week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Piss off, ghost!
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics. It's Journey into Comics 199. Wow. I am your host, Nate, and today joining me, the Wasp to my Ant-Man. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Welcome back to the show, the lovely Miss Veronica. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. We just saw the Ant-Man and the Wasp. I'm prepared to talk about that, and other than that, yeah.
That's one thing we are doing today. It's interesting because of time travel. I'm probably going to edit that out, but we have the opportunity here to reflect on some things that otherwise would not be talked about for another few weeks at this point, right?
Okay.
So this is like the lead-in of LaFeeCon. We've already experienced it.
Yes, we are still recuperating from that.
We're definitely recovering from that.
That was a great weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot of good from that weekend, and we're going to talk about that a little bit here. There were some strange occurrences, and there's some fallout from that that no one publicly knows about yet. I mean, the people that were involved know about it.
Mm-hmm.
The few people in the network who are involved know about it. You, Sarah, know about it, and that's like it. So we're going to be breaking some of that stuff down because it is worth mentioning. So right out of the gate, LaFeeCon 2018 was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It went really smooth for the network. It went really smooth for everyone who we brought to the table, I thought.
Yeah, we met some really interesting people. We met some really creative writers and artists and storytellers, and I made lots of friends. It was really nice.
You networked your ass off. You became like the social media liaison for LaFeeCon.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a blast.
Yeah, I had a great time. It was a good time.
What was that experience like for you, walking around and interviewing random people and going like live on the LaFeeCon Facebook page and stuff like that?
Well, I thought I handled it pretty professionally, if I do say so myself.
I thought so.
But I was super nervous because I've never fucking done that before. And I don't know. I did my best.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I thought I did okay. I tried.
You actually like went Facebook Live with me on the stage.
Yeah, I've never done Facebook Live before. That was fucking terrifying.
I've done a couple I've done a couple unboxing videos, and I learned really quickly that don't care who is or isn't watching, because you'll never be able to tell how long they're actually there or if they're even there.
Right, right.
And then that, you know, if you can get some interaction, just respond to the interaction as soon as you get it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only things I know about the Facebook Live stuff. So it wasn't really too crazy for me. We were asking a trivia question to get people to come down there. There were so many.
Yeah, it was really fun. I liked that.
It really was.
Yeah.
There were so many things going on the first day of LaFeeCon. Some of that stuff you guys are going to hear. JIC 200 next week, live from LaFeeCon. It was a fucking amazing experience.
Great. We had the guys from Podcastrophy and Nick Maxon from Brews with Dudes.
Absolutely.
That was fun. I don't think we've all just ever sat down and did a podcast together.
Yeah, and we did it in a different format. We don't typically get down or try to do other people's ideas or like other people's style of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And Movie Fights is a show that I've kind of admired for a while.
Movie Fight thing was fun. That was cool.
It was. I mean, I think I would like to go deeper and ask like crazier questions and get more interesting.
I think that that's something that Foodies Watching Movies podcast needs to tackle.
Maybe season three, we can do that. Yeah. We're wrapping season two here shortly. So
two episodes left of Foodies.
Wow, that's crazy to think about and reminisce about. But to stay on LaFeeCon here, so 200 kicked off LaFeeCon, and that was a blast.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, and it was really it was a really cool moment for my podcasting career to hit that number. And just like, even though I'm not going to go through and like rehash and retrospect all the stuff that I've been through, it's like you look back 4 years, 7 months to now, and the things that we've accomplished as people and the networking we've done and the kind of, it's interesting because we have kind of what's that word? There's a word. You know it. You know the word.
I don't know.
There's a it's like our repertoire, our that's not the word.
It's not the word. I don't know the word you're looking for.
Damn it. The word is our reputation.
Okay.
Our reputation precedes us. It was really cool to hear throughout LafayCon weekend. I'm so fucking bummed, and I'll tell you guys about that in a second. But it was really cool to hear throughout LafayCon weekend people say that they really enjoyed our network and our style of interview, yeah, our style of panel, kind of peeling it back and making it more real. I seem to, every single person I talked to that gave me a response back about what we were doing as a network,
mm-hmm,
was all that it was refreshing because we weren't forcing them into a box of you can only be discussing this one thing.
Right.
We let them lead the conversation and they got to talk about literally whatever the fuck they wanted to talk about.
Yeah, and it was great.
It was amazing. And there were so many cool moments.
There was a lot of really great interviews.
I mean,
the whole weekend.
The whole weekend was phenomenal. One of those interviews will actually be heard at the end of this episode, because I'm going to include the Matthew Waite interview from Sunday at LafayCon onto this as like the preamble to 200. I think it's great to have a comic book artist on this episode, considering we just lost one of the greatest comic book artists of all time in Steve Ditko. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy that created fucking Spidey-Man, like, oh, kills me in my heartstrings. So back to LafayCon. We did the whole weekend. It was great. We're through it,
mm-hmm,
you know. And then there's the other part of being a podcaster, and that's the editing work and the preparatory work of getting your episodes together and getting your ideas together and compiled and
uploaded,
going through and listening and doing all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of methodical about how I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I take a couple at a time from my board. I edit them into a saved file. I keep the saved file in a specific folder that I don't ever fuck with.
Mm-hmm.
Game over, right? It's super easy. It's like, it's basic, but it's my method. So it was kind of late, and I was working on getting a couple more of the interviews off the board, mm-hmm, onto the computer. And as I'm doing this, I'm looking at the computer space, and I'm like, wow, I'm using a lot of there's a lot of junk files I need to get rid of.
Right.
So I'm just like, okay, whatever. I go through.
Because that computer had not been like wiped at all, right?
No, I mean, you know, I didn't really fully like do a full system restore wipe thing or anything with Dick, because Dick had that thing, and honestly, I didn't mind how it was set up. Yes, there was like way the fuck too much porn, but like easy to get rid of.
There you go, Dick.
Yeah, I mean, 4K porn, it is what it is. Anyways, so I'm looking through all the files. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to the recycle bin, get rid of a bunch of shit, and be good. So I do that. And then I just go about my business. And I go to export John Tyler Christopher's interview, which you guys will hear at Journey into Comics 201.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because Nate's going to take a little bit of a vacation. I think I've earned it. Without really taking a vacation because I already did the work. So I'm exporting it.
Mm-hmm.
I go to save it. And when I go to the folder where all the LafayCon panels are, there's nothing in the folder.
Yeah.
And I'm immediately like, wait, what? It takes me a minute to even like recognize what's happening. I'm like, oh, it's because maybe I'm saving it as a different WAV format. I'm dumb. Let me check. No, it's an MP3. Okay, where are the files? So then I just on my own go, look, the files aren't there. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, mm-hmm. So then now I am starting to panic a little bit. My heart's racing. And I go to the recycling bin and there's nothing in there. And I can't find these files. And I search for the files and nothing's coming up and they're gone.
Yeah.
And I had already removed them from the board permanently because I had exported them. The job had been done. I needed to make more space for the next day of LafayCon.
Right.
So, to the wind. Yes, that was a great motion. To the wind. They're gone. And I was upset that those panels were gone. Yeah,
that was crushing.
It's not even, the crushing isn't even over yet, though, because it got worse. I'm in a panic and I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Okay, so I'm trying to figure out all these different ways to save the files. I'm looking online about restoring deleted files and this and that and the other. They're all saying pretty much the same thing. I try a couple of them. I can't find the files. They're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm coming to terms that those files are gone. And I'm like, okay, well, there's still shit I need to clean up off this desktop and get cleaned off this computer anyways. Mm-hmm. So I, again, not doing anything crazy at this point. I repeat the process. I go into the recycle bin. I hit empty recycle bin. As soon as I click that, my JIC temp folder is 100% gone.
Yeah, I have no idea what is wrong with this computer.
I don't either. I mean, I'm guessing it's probably like a virus or something has got in there, which wouldn't surprise me. But so the files are gone, and that's like a lot of stuff that is behind the scenes parts of the network.
Mm-hmm.
The files that I utilize to build Best of the Week shows, and the files I utilize for people's music and
right.
and shit like that. Like stuff that's it's replaceable, but it's irreplaceable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a meltdown at like 2:45 in the morning because it was like, I literally watched my empire burn to the ground in an instant, you know?
Fucking technology.
Let me tell you what, I've never been so grateful that I had the wherewithal to immediately, as soon as I got done editing JIC 200, upload that motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
Because if I would have lost that,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what would I. We're not going to play the what ifs. Mm-hmm. But so I contacted everybody whose panels were lost. This is because
it wasn't
end.
Everybody's.
It wasn't everybody.
One half of one day, right?
It was the majority of Saturday.
Yeah.
We kept John Tyler Christopher's. It happened to be the last one I was exporting, and I hadn't removed it from the board yet.
Right.
So I got to re-export it and give myself a second opportunity to save it, and then blah, blah, blah. So I contacted the people who that shit has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, I think the weekend of the 14th, we'll drive down to Lafayette on Saturday. We'll spend an afternoon hitting up a couple houses. We'll just redo these interviews, but it'll be a little more personal. It'll be in their home. It'll be a little bit more one-on-one. We won't have the pressure of being in front of other people.
Right.
Like, it'll be a nice environment. And every single one of those people responded with absolutely yes and super supportive and
yeah,
made me feel way less awful about the damage that had been done because it was their hard work too.
Right.
And that was the thing I think that really killed me because it's like my hard work, whatever. I can talk. I do it all the time. I'm not worried about it. But these people were telling their stories. They were going through their journeys. We were having beautiful conversations. I mean, you guys got to hear them live. Mm-hmm. And there were some really special moments on that stage.
And I did get to record some video on my phone. And
so there are some archives of proof that they actually happened.
We've got some goodies that we're going to release here and there.
But so yeah, that happened. And it was kind of like a live and learn moment. I'm going to be way more careful now with how I'm doing everything on that computer. I'm like triple backing things up 100 million times and what have you.
Shit, yeah, but LafayCon, other than the snafu, went off pretty well, I thought.
Without a hitch.
Yeah.
It was very great. So now I'm trying to think what we should, where we should. Okay, I know where we'll go next because we already kind of talked about it. Yeah, so Steve Ditko, creator of Spider-Man, died at the age of, I do believe, 92. I just read today, and this is a little bit fucked up. He died like over a week ago, and they just found him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, ooh, I don't want to talk about this.
No, I know, but it's comic book news, and you think, I mean, I'm going to, if you guys don't know Steve Ditko, I'm going to literally pull up a list, because there's no way, if I tried, I could name everybody that he helped create, okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, I can name a majority of them, but here we go. Characters created by Steve Ditko, okay?
Okay.
Adria, Age Genghis, Agent X, Liz Allen, The Ancient One, Angel Devlin, Sunset Ban, Robbie Baldwin, Baron Brimstone, Billy Brain, Billy Connors, Bluebird, Betty Brant, Burglar, Captain Adam, Chameleon, Klee, Clown, Creeper, Crime Master, Dr. Littlejohn, Dr. Spectre, Dr. Strange, Dormammu, Dragon Lord, Eel, Electro, The Enforcers, Eternity, Fancy Dan, Farley Stillwell, Faustus, Frederick Foswell, Matt Gargan. For those of you who don't know, Matt Gargan is Scorpion. Great Gambanos, Hank Hall, Hawk and Dove. They're in Hawk and Dove. They're in a new show. I think The Runaways or something.
I haven't seen that.
Haven't seen it either. Human Cannonball, Ion, Jack O'Lantern, Jackal, J. Jonah Jameson, John Jameson, okay, so Master Khan, Ted Kord, Kraven the Hunter, Leader, that's a big Incredible Hulk villain, Ned Leeds, Living Brain, Lizard, Looter, Jason McIndale, Madman, Snake Marston, Martha Connors, Aunt May. Aunt May, come on now. Melter, Metal Master, Mindless Ones, Missing Man, Mocker, Molten Man, Monsteroso, Montana, Baron Mordo, Mr. A, Mysterio. I mean, my favorite fucking character in Spider-Man, Mysterio. Yeah. You know, he drew him. I love so much more that I have that first appearance comic now, Amazing Spider-Man 13. It just, it's like, yes. Here's some more. Nightmare, Nightshade, Doc Ock, Oddman, Harry Osborn, Norman Osborn, Ox, Prince Python, Proteus, Punch and Julie, Question, Sandman, Shade the Changing Man, Sinister Six, Spencer Smythe, Spider-Man, Spider-Slayer, Squirrel Girl, Gwen Stacy, Stalker, Starman, Static, Meldon Storm, Strongman, Supreme One, Glenn Talbot, Terror, Flash Thompson, Taboro, Tinkerer, Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, Vera Sweet, Vincent Yachts, Vulture, Mary Jane Watson, Wingy Ames, Wong, and Yogi Berserk.
From the suburbs of Chicago and Illinois, this is The Poor Report with your host, Andrew Poor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Poor Report. This is episode 46, and I'm talking probably a little quieter than you usually hear me on the show because I'm recording from my office at work. It's been a little crazy. I moved over the weekend, so a lot of my stuff is in boxes, and my office at home is currently full of two cats and a lot of stuff. So the desk is covered, all that stuff is covered, so I can't really record there, but hopefully by next episode, by 47, I will be recording from my future recording space for both The Poor Report and Adulting Ain't Easy that I do with my fiance Liz. So in the meantime, I thought I'd give you guys an episode that covers some of the news that came out in the past week and some uplifting stories and some depressing stories and then kind of some stuff in between. So let's just jump right into another episode. So jumping right in, something I saw last night while kind of perusing the news is that Starbucks is eliminating plastic straws from all stores. The coffee company announced early today that it will phase out plastic straws from all of its stores by 2020. The changes will help Starbucks eliminate more than 1 billion plastic straws per year, the company said. Plastic straws contribute to ocean pollution and pose a danger to marine life. Some governments have begun banning them. To eliminate straws, Starbucks has transitioned from the flat plastic lids that require them to ones that feature a raised lip you can drink from. The new designs have drawn comparisons to an adult, quote-unquote, sippy cup. Frappuccino drinks will still be served with dome lids, but with straws made from paper or compostable plastic. Coffee drinkers who prefer straws for other beverages can request the new eco-friendly versions. Some Starbucks drinks, like cold brew with cold foam, are already served in cups with strawless lids. Starbucks will begin rolling out the new lids for all drinks this fall, starting with stores in Vancouver, Canada, and Seattle. In a statement, CEO Kevin Johnson called the move away from plastic straws a significant milestone in the company's sustainability efforts. Starbucks has already committed $10 million to help develop recyclable compostable cups for hot drinks. Other companies have been ditching plastic straws as bans on the item have gone into place. Last month, McDonald's said that it would start switching to paper straws in the United States, in the United Kingdom and Ireland in September. The transition will be complete in 2019, the company said. The announcement from McDonald's followed an April proposal by the UK government to ban plastic straws in the country. In May, the European Union also addressed a ban on some plastic items, including straws. In the United States, local governments are already putting similar restrictions into place. Seattle's ban on plastic straws and utensils went into effect last week. Oakland and Berkeley, California, and other cities have also banned the use of disposable straws. The UK government said that 1 million birds and more than 100,000 sea mammals die each year from eating and getting tangled in plastic waste. Plastic straws that end up in our oceans have a devastating effect on species, said Aaron Simon, Director of Sustainability Research and Development and Material Science at World Wildlife Fund. In a statement, we hope all others will follow in Starbucks' footsteps. Starbucks said that it is the largest food and beverage retailer to have promised to get rid of plastic straws. Nicholas Malos, director of Ocean Conservancy, Trash Free Seas program, called Starbucks' decision a shining example of how companies can help fight ocean pollution. With 8 million metric tons of plastic entering the ocean every year, we cannot afford to let industry sit on the sidelines, he said in a statement. I've actually used the paper straws, the biodegradable, compostable. I'm going to have the hardest time saying compost or compostable today. Awesome. So I've actually used one. I've actually seen that adult sippy cup that Starbucks has done with their cold drinks. The plastic cup, the new design, the sippy cup, is a little weird looking, but it's not all that different from like a regular coffee cup you get that has just the foam with the sippy lid, essentially. I mean, it works the same way. It's just for cold drinks as opposed to a straw, which is fine. I feel like it might make driving and drinking a little more complicated for those kind of drinks, but probably not all that different considering people who drink coffee and go to work. It's probably a very similar feel. The paper straws are good. I used it when I went to the Lincoln Park Zoo in Chicago. The only downs, it's just that getting used to that texture, it's a little weird, and it kind of breaks down after a while just because it's paper and it's in a liquid, so you got to kind of make it work fast. But other than that, it works pretty smoothly, I think. And kind of moving away from that story to another story, this is kind of a tough story to read. I saw this and I thought it was kind of ridiculous. A one-year-old baby appears in immigration court and cries hysterically. The judge said he was embarrassed to ask if the boy understood the proceedings. A one-year-old boy in federal custody who appeared in immigration court without his parents in Phoenix briefly played with a ball, drank from a bottle, then cried hysterically as he was about to leave the courtroom Friday, according to the Associated Press. But he was eventually granted a voluntary departure so that the government can fly him to Honduras, where his father has already been sent. Little boy, identified in court only as Jonah, was one of the children who appeared in the Arizona court Friday without parents. One boy held up five fingers when the judge asked him his age. Judge John Richardson said he was embarrassed to ask if Jonah understood the proceedings, AP reported. I don't know who you would explain it to unless you think that a one-year-old can learn immigration law, he told Jonah's attorney. Immigration advocates have complained about children going to court, calling it stressful and frightening. People in immigration proceedings, even children, are not guaranteed an attorney, although most unaccompanied minors do appear with representation. There are no physical accommodations for children, many of whom can't even see over the defense tables without booster seats. There are no booster seats, no teddy bears. It's a cold immigration court, and these kids are sitting in chairs that are too big for them. Their feet don't even touch the floor, immigration attorney Lindsay Toslowski told CNN last month. Jonah, who did have an attorney, was reportedly separated from his dad at the U.S. border. AP did not report the reason for their separation or the timing. The Trump administration enacted a zero-tolerance immigration policy earlier this year to refer all illegal border crossings for criminal prosecution, which led to thousands of children being split up from their parents. Some parents were deported without their children after signing a waiver. Trump countermanded his own separation policy with an executive order he signed June 20th, but now his administration is under court order to reunite children with families. Some 3,000 migrant children remain in government custody after being separated from their parents, and about 100 of them are under the age of five. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, the New York Times have reported that some records on the separated families have been lost or even destroyed, raising the possibility that some children may never be reunited with their families. In addition, the U.S. already deported at least 19 parents of children under the age of five and in federal custody. A federal judge in San Diego ordered the Trump administration to reunite children under five with their parents within 14 and within 30 days for older children. The first deadline is July 10th. Lawmakers for HHS asked for an extension last week and argued that federal officials shouldn't be required to reunite children with parents who have already been deported. Judge Dana Sabra, who set the deadlines, is set to hold a hearing Monday on the extension request, but only in specific cases where the government can demonstrate that it's necessary. He said Friday that the government must reunite children with their parents, even if the parents have already been deported. I definitely agree with the judge's decision. Yes, it's ridiculous that children as young as five are put up by themselves in front of an immigration court to determine their fate. If the parent is getting deported, the kids get deported right along with them. It's ridiculous that they're keeping them separated. A five-year-old needs care. A one-year-old definitely needs care. You can't just leave them to the aid of people whose services are not adequately prepared to handle children at that age. These kids are going to be traumatized by going through this experience, and I think it's ridiculous, and this administration needs to definitely make an effort to reunite these children with their parents. I don't care where the parents or the kids end up, they just need to be together, and that's kind of my thoughts on that. And getting away from this topic to definitely a happier topic, and that involves the Thai cave rescue that's underway. So, as of now, 8 boys have been rescued. The rescue is halted because it's just the end of the day. They're now it's nightfall, so they're definitely done. The children whose names haven't been officially released are now recovering in an isolation unit in the hospital. And there's still 4 more kids and their coach still inside the cave. And this is kind of a live feed. So that's as of... so here, as of 11:53 a.m., the Prime Minister visits the families of the soccer team. So the Prime Minister, Prayut Chan-o-Cha, met with families of the soccer team near the cave Monday. The Prime Minister's office distributed videos of families meeting with Prayut, who says, "No matter how much we spend, no one complains about it. Life is the most important." The Prime Minister expected to visit the boys who have already been rescued in the hospital Monday night. Rescue worker at cave says boy emerged wearing multiple wetsuits meant to keep them warm. Danish cave diver Ivan Kardarzik, who was stationed at Camp Sik to assist the rescue divers, tells CNN that the divers believe today's operation was even more smoothly executed than yesterday, which may have resulted in less water being in the cave system. So the boys were indeed wearing a full face mask as well as several wetsuits to minimize heat loss. "This is because the water is very cold and they are very skinny," he said. The boys are attached to the divers with a small line called a body line, which he says is common to use in low visibility in order to minimize any kind of risk. Yesterday, when he saw the kids in Camp 6, he said they were looking good considering the situation they were in. "Divers now need to bring new air and oxygen tanks into the cave and place them at strategic places along the route," he said. "It's a contingency in case something happens with the gas supply of the rescue divers, such as an equipment malfunction because the route is so long." It looks like there's a lot of volunteers right now, and I'll definitely be keeping up with this story. But it looks like all these kids should make it out okay, including their coach. And this is definitely something that made international headlines. So definitely hope the remaining 4 and their coach make it out safely, and that they're safe and comfortable where they are right now, and that the other divers and children that have already been rescued are getting the help and care in need. I know there was a diver who was lost. I unfortunately don't have his name at this time, but my heart goes out to his family because he did his best to save those kids, and unfortunately he lost his life while doing so. So definitely reach out to him, that he did a great thing for those kids. Moving on then to something a little more comedic, which is kind of a hard transition to do here. Showtime reveals a new show. So Sacha Baron Cohen, who a lot of you know was Borat and Bruno and did like the Ali G show, he's done a bunch of different characters over his time and his career. His newest character has arrived, and he's here to mock America, which in a Trump administration, it's something that he's definitely well equipped to do. As one of the greatest mustachioed gents of all time would say, "Wah, will we, wah, very nice." News you're about to read. With the curious case of Sacha Baron Cohen's new comedy series for Showtime growing more mysterious each day, Vulture has some intel that can help solidify what shenanigans Cohen has gotten up to. As spotted by our editors in Park Slope, Brooklyn this weekend, it appears Cohen's Showtime series will be called Who is America? "You've been warned," the posters tease while giving us the first glance of Cohen's character, a guy suspiciously peeking out of American flags with various eyewear. It's kind of like that one Talking Heads album cover, but way more Republican. When Cohen's show, slated to premiere on July 15th, was cryptically announced by Showtime last week, the network described his character as being shameless, unhinged, and cold-blooded. While that it might be perhaps the most dangerous show in the history of television, it will also likely involve some President Trump bashing. As for Cohen, he remained mum except for this tweet. "A message for your president, real Donald Trump, on Independence Day."
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
Guys, we are not invading my aunt.
Welcome to Foodies Watching Movies, Season 2, Episode 23. I'm your host, Lauren, here with my co-host, Nate.
How's it going?
It's going good. Other co-host, Veronica.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
And with our special guest host, Jesse.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. And welcome.
Or good morning, depending on when they're listening, because time travel is real.
True. I didn't think of that.
How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Full of some interesting food decisions that we made today.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of had their own adventure with food, and we ended up making a lot of frozen shit that was in my freezer.
That's actually a good thing to talk about. We don't ever talk about frozen food on Foodies.
Yeah, I've been doing Aldi's a lot, like, for my grocery shopping, and they've been having some pretty stellar freezer picks.
Do you guys like freezer foods, typically?
I usually don't.
I typically don't either, but like you were saying, the Aldi stuff lately has just been spot on.
Yeah, it's been nice to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got some Vandekamp fish sticks in my freezer at home.
Nice.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I did, but
I was gonna say
it was mostly like Jose Oli tacos or something.
Nice.
In the toaster oven.
Mmm, delicious.
Not bad.
I used to like the Tostinos or Totino's frozen pizzas, like the pizza for ones from the 90s. That was my jam. That was some good frozen pizza.
I always liked Hot Pockets, ham and cheese.
Ugh,
keep it basic.
Death Pockets.
Death Pockets? Were you just bad at eating Hot Pockets? You don't put them in your mouth immediately. You like let them sit for like 3 to 5 after you cook them.
No, I don't like Hot Pockets.
And they're perfect. Oh, they're so good. Or like pizza rolls? Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I like pizza rolls.
Pizza rolls are delicious.
Those are also Totino's.
Pizza rolls are really good. Can't fight that.
Do you remember the Bagel Bites?
Yeah.
That was the 90s had some good frozen food.
I think Bagel Bites are probably the best of the whole thing, you know?
Okay.
Like I don't know. I recently bought a box of Bagel Bites for my kid and I to share, and they didn't hold up.
Well, how'd you make them?
In the toaster oven. They didn't taste the same.
Hmm. Maybe they changed the recipe.
It is modern times. They can't put all the good shit in it because it's bad for us. So
that's why I'm saying, man, the 90s
feel like
freezer food was
automatically
where it was at.
Taste better. I don't know. I just feel like in my head, things taste better. I have better memories of food than I actually do
food
of
memories
the food.
Are,
yeah, that's real.
It's like your food memories have been antiquated inside of your mind the way that you want them to be. Like
yeah.
In a perfect memories type situation.
So. I have a perfect food memory from the 90s.
Tell me.
Viennetta. Breyers Ice Cream made this concoction called Viennetta. And I swear to God, I look back on it and I remember how delicious it was. And it couldn't possibly be that good, but I bet it still is. It was like this weird ice cream, like, roll, like almost like a cake that you'd slice. And it had like all these different layers of chocolate, like crunchy flakes in it and different ice, like chocolate and vanilla ice cream. And then more chocolate on top and like hard chocolate shell.
This sounds extravagant.
It was incredible. It's real. Google it. It's called Viennetta. And it was real.
Breyers
brief moment in
ice
time.
Cream Viennetta.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to look it up.
I'm gonna
man,
look it up right now.
Favorite ice creams. We've kind of like shifted because we're in the freezer section right now. I honestly
ice
am,
cream is frozen food.
It sure. is. It is definitely frozen food.
It's not the processed. Well, I guess it would be.
It is
some
kind
processed.
Of processed, right? It's that's weird.
Everything's processed, you know.
It yeah.
Tomato plant processes the fruit.
Absolutely, you're not wrong.
You know.
Okay,
I
so
think
how much process.
I've discovered the Viennetta image.
Oh.
Oh, and it looks exactly the same as I remember it. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to show everybody. It's got, like, cocoa
yeah,
describe
powder
on it. Top. It looks like delicious, beautiful rolls
it's
of
like
ice cream.
It's like a tiramisu or something.
Rolls it looks like a tiramisu, cream? But it's not coffee. It's just vanilla and chocolate with, like, chocolate flake crunchy layers inside, like, layers and layers of ice cream.
It looks
here, hand
like
this to Lauren. She's got to see this.
It looks like if
did it
like,
come in like a regular gallon?
No, it was in a box,
yeah.
A rectangular box.
It looks
it's like,
a
cake.
If a miniature like version of elves that only
okay, this
bake
looks just
stuff
like tiramisu.
Had homes, that's what they would look like.
Yeah,
this looks just like tiramisu.
Yeah, it looks just like tiramisu.
Only
like,
kind of like
like a Napoleon or something.
Yeah, like a horror version, horror movie version of tiramisu, kind of.
Yeah, it's decadent and beautiful and glorious, and I wish they still made it. Come on, Breyers, get your shit together.
They still make the Tonight Dough, and that's what I am all about.
Tonight Dough?
Mm-hmm. The Tonight Dough is a Ben & Jerry's flavor. It's like the Jimmy Fallon flavor. So the Tonight Show.
Yeah, that's the Ben & Jerry's.
And it's got like huge globs of cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough, peanut butter cookie dough, and then chocolate cookie dough. And it is amazing. It's like probably the greatest ice cream in my opinion.
I don't know. I think it's pretty good. My favorite Ben & Jerry's, like my go-to, has always been half-baked.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's got the brownie, the chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream, and cookie dough ice cream in it. But the brownie is like my favorite part. It's so good. And then they released like
recently, I think, they had like this brownie batter core, and it's all just chunks of brownie, and in the middle it's like, it tastes like brownie batter mix, like, you know, in the middle of the ice cream. And that was really good.
Yeah, that brownie batter core is pretty delicious.
Yeah, that's probably my new favorite one.
Jesse, what about you? Ice creams, favorites, all time? Do you have a like?
All time favorite ice cream?
Yeah. I know we're moving all around right now.
Man, I think I like all ice cream.
Fair.
If I had to choose, and I'm not very choosy, I would go with like some, this is a weird one probably, but mint chocolate chip.
Fuck yes.
I don't know why.
I don't like mint chocolate anything.
Love it. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. Like a classic, doesn't have to be, it could be like, okay, I don't know how many people know Prairie Farms, but like Prairie Farms brand ice cream, mint chocolate chip that just comes in the block.
Yeah.
Just let that shit melt just a little bit and then put it in like a milkshake. Nothing greater. Nothing greater.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's just maybe.
I think it's a texture thing too. Those flakes of mint chocolate that are actually in the ice cream. Mm-hmm. Delicious.
It's, yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What about you, Lauren?
Anything with peanut butter in it, like chocolate peanut butter.
Yeah. Ben & Jerry's has a good peanut butter. It's not a peanut butter core one. It's just like peanut butter cookie dough, right?
Yes.
They have a peanut butter cookie dough ice cream.
I love getting chocolate peanut butter milkshakes.
Mm.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
It does sound good.
Go to Oberweis or even Dairy Queen has them, and they're pretty good.
I like Oberweis milkshakes.
I got like a French vanilla ice cream latte from the little sundae shop on Cedar Lake, you know?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was pretty good.
I haven't been to that new one. That used to be the Dairy Queen, right?
The Dairy Bell, is that what you're talking about?
Well, it is still. Oh, is it? It's not a Dairy Queen anymore, is it?
No, the one over by the Sandbar restaurant?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that one's like privately owned now.
It was good, though.
Is it Michael? A Dairy Bell?
Yeah, I think it's a Dairy Bell, right?
Dairy Bell is really fucking
good.
No,
it's not a Dairy Bell. Dairy Bell is in Hammond, right?
There's a Dairy Bell in Hammond, and there's a Dairy Bell on 30.
Yeah, right over
there. Dairy Bell on 30?
Yeah, right over by the new Circle K that they just put on Austin Street.
It's strange things are afoot.
At the Circle K. Yeah, great.
Speaking of strange things.
Sure.
Oh, you finally watched it, right?
Since I broke my leg, I got a lot of time to watch movies and shows and crap.
Yeah, this is part of the reason why I wanted you to come onto our show, because you've been watching a ton of movies lately.
I feel like we almost need to back it up, though, for our listeners who don't know that you've been kind of stuck in your home. What happened to you exactly?
Well, I got off work one day and went to a concert with some friends.
Fuck yeah.
It was...
Not that I don't already know.
Lamb of God and Slayer.
Fuck yeah, so metal.
And Slayer's last tour, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was supposed to be a good time. You know? It was a good time. Not to foreshadow anything or anything.
Little did you know.
Dun, dun.
The narrator's like...
But obviously Little you're injured, you know. So we know that the story doesn't really necessarily have a good ending.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
So what happened?
Anywho, got to the show. Having a good time. Lamb of God was playing. We had tickets for the pit. Actually, we didn't have tickets for the pit, to tell you the truth. My friends I went with got tickets for the pit, and I had bought a lawn seat like the day of. And then I went up to one of the guys and was like, hey, my mosh pit wristband got ripped off in the pit. And I took one of my friends gave me their ticket.
Oh, nice.
So I had it on me, and he's like, you got your ticket still? And I showed him their ticket, mm-hmm. And then I got a wristband for the mosh pit.
Hey.
So.
Dun, dun, dun. Like.
He's doomed.
This is why.
Karma.
Yeah, it was instant karma. This is instant karma happening.
Oh, man.
So I get into the pit where I'm not supposed to be, because God didn't give me a ticket for the pit. Gave me a ticket for the lawn seats.
Oh, this is great.
So I'm having a good time. I'm in the pit, but I'm not like, I'm a smaller dude, so I'm kind of just bouncing around, and I don't really like, I'm not there to harm anybody. It's more of like just
getting that energy
just,
out.
Yeah, just being in, you know.
Mm-hmm. As Tyler would say, you were beat bopping along in the pit.
Yeah, I was moseying along.
There you go. Great word.
And I was saving others, picking them up, you know, being a, I had
good pit. Samaritan in the pit.
Yeah, I'm a pit Samaritan.
Yeah, I love it.
You and know, yet,
although I was acting Jesus-like,
Christ-like,
exactly
at the Lamb of God concert.
Oh, it writes its fucking self.
So this
it?
Is the weirdest part. Like right before, I remember distinctly right before. Like I wasn't wasted or anything. I was just, you know, I'm 30, dude. But, you know, I'm just having a good time. And I remember, like, Lamb of God was playing, and I was looking at the pit on the edge, and it was like, I literally felt like Satan and all his minions had come together. And what I saw out of my eyes was, like, straight from hell. Like, the hellish evil energies in the universe are spiraling descended, right in
descended
front of
upon,
me.
Where was this? What venue was this?
Oh, it was at the Tweeter Center.
So, all of hell descended upon the Tweeter Center.
Man, that used to be, that's Tinley Park?
Yeah, so right. It's like the...
Isn't it First Midwest Bank Amphitheater now?
Oh, yeah.
So all of Satan's spiraling energy came down on the First Midwest Bank Amphitheater.
Yes, I love it.
So I'm on the edge of the... I'm not in the eye of Satan's fucking wrath, but I'm standing on the edge of it, you know?
Standing outside of the devil's anus.
Like, boy, right. You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, whatever. So I turn around, and I'm like watching Lamb of God, because they're amazing musicians. And
mere feet in front
badass.
Of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I just get crushed.
There shined a shiny demon.
Shiny demon reached
in the
his
middle
little,
of the road.
Reached his claws out of the pit and just broke my leg.
Oh, fuck. Broke your leg. Brutal. Easily.
So did someone like go like this to you?
Well... My back was turned, so I got, like, kind of pushed over, and then my ankle kind of rolled slightly, and then someone stepped on my leg, you know?
As your ankle
at, like,
rolling.
A 45-degree angle.
They weren't trying to hurt you. They stepped. Your leg was there, and science has it that...
People got pushed onto you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
People got pushed into you, and that's what happened. Someone accidentally stepped on you.
So it wasn't necessarily a demon that did this.
It was more
it was
of an angel.
Bad luck.
No. But... Yeah, beside the point, it's instant karma for.
I don't think
pulling
so.
A Beavis and Butthead move to get into the pit.
That's
you know,
pretty intense punishment for just going to the pit.
No, I think it's the most metal story. Like you were seeing Lamb of God and Slayer, and had this badass reckoning to get into the pit, and then the universe took you out. You still got to see some of the show though, right, from the sidelines.
Well, I like heard my leg break.
Oh.
And I was like, shit. This isn't good.
You don't
say. So, like, naturally, you're in the pit. If you're down, people help you up.
Absolutely.
So someone helped me up, and I was like, fuck, my leg's flopping around. And I, like, started hopping out, and I fell again, like, a little bit out and away from the pit. And some dude's like, you need help, dude? I'm like, yeah, my leg's broke.
Yeah, my leg's broke.
And he helped me out to like where the like seats are right there.
Yeah.
So I sat down, and then some woman ripped my shirt off me and started like patting me down with it, because apparently I was like adrenaline was pumping.
Oh yeah, you're
so
probably
I was,
like
sweating profusely.
Mm-hmm. Maybe hyperventilating a little bit without even knowing it.
Probably.
Well, you're in shock at this point because
totally.
Your fucking leg's broken.
I mean,
have to maintain consciousness to get yourself safe, you know?
Like, yeah.
So you're full of adrenaline, I'm sure.
Yeah, full of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I knew my leg was broken, so I started taking my boot off to see. I wanted to see it, you know? Got it off, and it's swollen double the size it's supposed to be, you know? So they come with like a little crappy stretcher and... bring me to the infirmary. I sit there, and that was even a crazy story too, because there's like they're bringing people in from the show that are like wasted beyond belief and
all
shit.
All kinds of tripped out.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna fuck the sodomites in the.
Warning: podcast should be imminent. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? I am your host, Dick. Today, we don't have our co-host, Tyler. He's working right now, but I am here with a very special guest, Mr. Tanner Hello. Cowens. Is it Cowens or Cowens?
Cowens, yeah.
Okay, right. Cool. That's been bugging me for like a week, man. Like,
yeah, one of the few that actually pronounces it right. So I appreciate that.
I try, you know. I have my last name's Tyner, and everybody's like, Tenor?
Oh, yeah.
I was at Arby's today, and they asked for my name. I gave them my last name because I guess everybody gives their first name now at places. I think it's weird to say your first, to give them your name at a fast food place, but whatever. But but they're like, give me your name. And I'm like, Tyner. So when I came to pick up my order, they thought I gave them my first name. They're like, oh, they must have said Tyler wrong. I'm like, nope, that's my last name. I'm old school. It's weird to say that, like, that's old school, but
yeah,
whatever. So how are you today, man?
I'm good, dude. I just got up a little while ago and got some coffee and just kind of hanging out. So.
I tried to like be convenient for you. I'm like, noon should be a right, because there's a 3-hour difference. You're in Oregon, man.
I am. I'm all the way on the West Coast.
And I'm
pretty cool.
All the way in the Midwest,
where it's like water sucks. And cool things here. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a couple friends out there. I've always wanted to visit and, you know, hang out, but never, like,
cool.
I never have the time, never have the money to get out there. It just is what it is, man.
Yeah.
I got friends out in Seattle and Redmond and Portland. Mm. Oh, they're all over out there, but yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. We're just going to get right into the nitty gritty here. Rest repose, man.
It was weird, man. I don't know. What do you want to know specifically, I guess?
Well, we can backtrack a little bit. So I went up and saw you guys up in Berwyn, Chicago, or Berwyn, Illinois. Chicagoland, as they call it, I guess. I don't know. It's it's such a foreign, because there's a part of Indiana that's near Chicago that they all call themselves the region. And we got a couple. I'm like 2 hours away from Chicago, so so we got people that I work with, that I have worked with, that are all from the region, and I'm like, what region are you talking about? Oh, up north, you know, the region.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't quite get it, and I just call it fake Chicago.
is that like what is that, South Bend type area? Or
South
is it like
Bend, like Gary. I don't know if South Bend is like Gary though, Merrillville, all around there. So this was your first U.S. tour.
Yeah, I mean, we did like some small tours before where we just did like up and down the West Coast. Like we did
I know, in, and I was like August, guys, and come on out here, come on.
Yeah, we went in August with 100 Sons, and then we did like a winter headliner thing just up and down the West Coast because we had a show with Seosin. So it was like we're like, well, we're driving all the way down to LA. We might as well like book a tour around it.
Yeah.
So we did that and it was cool, man. Like we did, I think it was like, I don't know, six shows in 7 days or something like that. And then the August one with 100 Sons, it was like 5 shows in 7 days.
Okay.
So it was cool.
Yeah. So touring, that's gotta be a lot of fun. I've never had any desire, but I can see how it'd be fun, and you know, just to get away, you know, play all your music and shit.
Yeah, it's a blast. I mean, meeting the people that support the bands it's one of the coolest things that you get to do. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, we got to meet all these people that like comment on videos and share posts and things like that.
Yeah.
Or cover songs, and
it goes both ways. Wild. Like, it's so cool to meet you guys. You know, I've been a huge part of the local scene around here, like, not saying like I've done much, but like I support the hell out of it. So like, and you know, like there are bands in Indianapolis, like an hour away from me, that like when I can geek out about them, and so I can just be like, oh dude, I've been listening to you guys for like a year, like I'm so glad you finally made it an hour up here. But it's cool. That was like a really surreal show for me in Berwyn, because I didn't really get to meet anybody except for Austin. I got like real nervous, and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I listened I listened to one of your other podcasts, and you were saying that people were kind of coming in and out, and you're like,
yeah, I am one of those people. Like, if someone's doing a job or they're concentrating on something, I leave them alone. So I just I left everybody be. I saw you hanging out outside, and I'm like, he's talking to people, cool. But because the week before that, I was on Jared and Austin's Dickie Dines show for the shitty tattoos. Yeah. I was like, dude, Austin, I've been on your show twice. Check out my shitty tattoos that you showed to the internet. And he took a picture of with one of them, put it on his Instagram story. I was pretty stoked about that. But like, it's so weird because, and this is actually going to end up being one of my topics today, but it's so weird. You guys are just regular guys, and like, but to us on the other side of the on the comment end, you guys are rock stars. You guys are fucking rock stars. And
it's so weird, dude. It's such a weird perception because it's like we're just dudes who want to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like, and there wasn't a lot of that on tour. So, I mean, yeah, there was
I can imagine
a lot of long drives and things like that. But yeah, I mean, like, going to different towns and like meeting people and actually getting a chance to like connect with people on a person to person basis was like probably the most, like the second most fulfilling part of it all. Mm-hmm. The first obviously is like when people are singing back stuff that you've written. Like that's the craziest, most surreal feeling. Even people just doing like the whoa-whoas and stuff and like in retrospect or whatever, like those sorts of songs where people are like singing the words about like my crushing anxiety I had for 10 years. Like, and people know every single word of the song about that. It's like, that's such a trip. And that's such a treat also, because it's just like, it's amazing to feel like people give a shit. Like this, it's wild. It's really, really cool. But then like on top of that, like talking to fans outside of the venue before the show or after the show, like I had some such cool experiences. Like in, when we got over to like, Michigan, like Kalamazoo, I talked to these dudes for like 2 hours before the show.
Oh wow.
Just like us three just talking about whatever, and it was just because we came from different backgrounds of life and like had different perspectives on all sorts of stuff. You know, these two dudes had just finished like Ramadan, so I was like asking them all these questions about that and kind of like, just to learn about it, because I'm like,
of course.
I don't know anything about, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about like that walk of life. So it was really cool to like share these experiences and like draw parallels and like find all these really cool things that were just differences, but like also find common ground in the middle of all of it, like music lovers and traveling and playing in bands and tastes of music and all these different sorts of things. It was just like really, I don't know. It was one of the coolest things that I've gotten to do in a long, long time. Connect with people on a person to person basis rather than just like through social media. So it was rad. I loved it.
Like I've some of my best conversations I've ever had are with like in terms of with rock stars per se. I sat and talked to Don Slater, the bass player for Battlecross, for like for like an hour and a half just about Super Nintendo.
Oh nice.
Just Super Nintendo and just like old school devices like from the 90s that like are completely useless now, but it's just like, hey, do you remember this? Hey, do you remember this? Like, I was I was just a wee lad in the 90s. I'm only 27 right now, but but it's just so cool. And you know, my friend Brandon, he's another host on one of the shows on our network. He's a big Metallica fan, so he follows like James Hetfield and all them, and so he's read interviews and stuff, and it's like, he's like, dude, if I'm gonna meet this is James Hetfield talking. If I'm going to meet a fan, I don't want to talk about me. I want to meet them. I want to talk to them. And I'm like, dude, that is so cool. And that brings it back to the whole, like, everybody, we're all just people.
For real.
We're all just people. And, you know, we put other people on this pedestal. And but in the end, we're all just people.
Dude, yeah. I mean, like, we went out with 100 Sons. You know, Corey was like a... He was like my hero in high school and college. Like I dressed up as that dude on Halloween when I was like 19. It was after like the Redeemer album came out. So I told him this story and he's just like kind of laughing awkwardly. He's like, oh, all right, you know. but same thing, like just this person that I put up on a huge pedestal, like this is a person that influenced me vocally for, you know, a good portion of my life. And it's like getting a chance to meet this dude was just like the most surreal thing. I'm like, oh shit, you know, it's Corey Brandon over there, you know, like freaking out. And now he's like, oh, here's my phone number. I'm like, yeah, you know, just a good dude, you know, just a good dude in general. And like, those guys. And then like, I've been lucky enough to like kind of befriend some of the dudes in like Nothing More.
Yeah. I've seen and, like, that.
And like those guys came, you know, they just got nominated for like three Grammy awards. Like, I don't think they won any, but like still.
That's really cool just, regardless.
But just like, but anytime that they come through Oregon or Portland or whatever, like I'll go up and see them and wind up on their bus or something and like hang out and talk with them about whatever. And it's just super cool because like they're just regular ass dudes.
I actually saw them a couple months ago with Papa Roach.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, I saw them.
Nice. Yeah, that was a fun show. Like, that was the first time I've really heard Nothing More.
So good.
Yeah, like very entertaining.
Yeah, their live show.
Very entertaining.
Their show is just, I don't know, man. It's one of the best that I've ever seen live. Like, between the Drumtron thing and then the Scorpion Tail, like all that crazy shit that they do. Like, they are stepping it up and kind of raising the bar for pretty much every band that's out there right now. Like, I don't know.
Their
how
singer
they come up with that
is
kind
just,
of stuff.
He's just insane. He's just running around. He's got such an awesome range. You know, I think I saw pictures that you posted from the Portland show, and he was Ultimate Warrior, which is my favorite wrestler. Yeah. So
yeah, dude. Oh man. So yeah, they did the Ultimate Warrior. They did like so the whole show was a Halloween show. So like all the bands dressed up. So like Hell or High Water, which is Brandon Soller from Atreyu. It's his new band that he's doing, so he's a front man for that. But they came out in like giant sumo suits, like the inflatable ones. And then, oh my gosh, what was the second band? I can't remember what the second band was, but another one came out as like the, you know, like the Mexican wrestler Nacho Libre.
Oh, like a luchador
things. Yeah, those guys. And then Palisades didn't dress up because they had like a label exec looking at them, so they were kind of trying to be serious.
Gotcha.
But then and then Nothing More pops up, and of course, you know, they got Stone Cold Steve Austin, Ultimate Warrior. Daniel was Randy Savage, and then Mark was he was like the Irish dude with the kilt, not Sheamus, but
Oh wow, Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those guys. So there's like videos of them on the street where they were like doing like a pose off or like trying to challenge each other and like doing like the smack talk thing before the fight or whatever. But like after the show, they go back to the green room, and they're like, yeah, let's go across the because like in the Crystal Ballroom, McMinnon's Crystal Ballroom in Portland. There's like the green rooms behind, like backstage, like under the ground, like on the second level. And then across the hall from the green rooms, there's like a dance club, nightclub type thing. So they're like, let's go over to the club. We're like, all right, sure. So we go over there and like, then they walk in, like they own the place. And like, they like ask people to like clear out a circle in the dance floor. And then they just had a pose off for like 5 minutes and then they just left. So it was like the most random thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so damn funny. And then, so they're like, oh, yeah, let's just go back there. And so we had, like, some beers there in the green room and just, like, hung out. And then I stole an avocado and left. But but it's good dudes. Like, just good, wholesome dudes. And like, I think the time before that, like, we took him to, so it was, like, Mark, Dan, and then their merch guy, Brian. And then somebody else came with us. But, like, we took him to Chopsticks in Portland. It's, like, this crappy, like, divey, like way too well lit type of like karaoke bar after the show. Okay. And like they were trying to do like Gangster's Paradise and like all these just ridiculous songs, and, like Regulators with Warren G. Like just it was god awful, but it was so fun. And since then we've maintained contact and stuff. And ironically, Daniel was going to come up to the show at Corpus Christi, which is tonight. And
oh,
I'm
man.
Not going to be there, so he's going to be confused. But yeah, good dudes.
Going back to a Thousand Suns, like Corey, that's his name, right? I have such a cool parallel with that because, and it's actually from a band in the Portland area. Years ago, I started listening to this band called Across the Sun.
Oh yeah, I remember them.
And I just it was just one of those things where I was just like always on their social media, like always commenting, being fanboy number one.
And, back in the MySpace days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember they were huge.
Oh, hell yeah. And then Brandon, their vocalist, he ended up being a huge influence on my own vocals because he had that like very...
Eating cheese.
Delicious cheese that we got from the Wisconsin Dells on our family vacation, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. Our first solo family vacation, right? Because we've taken...
without your other family.
Yeah, we took a trip to Disney World with my sister and my mom, or my sisters and my mom. Last year, but this was our first family vacation with just the five of us, which I guess technically the first half, I just threw the cat. Didn't mean to, she was thrashing. The first half of the vacation was actually a family reunion for my dad's side of the family. And then we decided to kind of roll that into our own little family trip since we were already going to be out. But I guess we can start with... we could start with talking about the first half of the family vacation. The first thing I wanted to talk about, since it really was the very first part of the vacation, was the actual drive, which, for the most part, surprisingly uneventful. With three kids in the back, they actually handled it really well. It ended up being a 13-hour drive to get there.
Yeah, and you know, that's easy for you to say because I'm the one that had to turn around and unbuckle every five fucking seconds.
No.
To
not
change
on the
a
way
DVD
there.
To yes, it was. You just didn't notice.
Yeah, well, I was the one that had to pull a camper 600 miles when I've never pulled
and
a trailer before.
You're never doing
before.
That again because I'm sick of hearing you talk about that freaking camper.
I did talk a lot about it, but I was nervous. I'd never pulled a trailer before, and this was a pretty big trailer.
I just feel like
that we borrowed. And
get over it after like 10 seconds.
I wanted to make sure it got there in one piece. And you know what? We were driving through Iowa, which for the most part it's boring and blech, but it was pretty hilly, which I had not anticipated. And man, pulling that trailer over those hills was nerve-wracking to me because I literally just bought this. So we bought this Ford Expedition a couple weeks ago, and we bought it because I needed a new vehicle already. So that, I mean, it was already in the works that I was going to get a new car, but I bought this Expedition because it was big enough for our family, plus it had the tow package built into it, and we were planning on pulling this camper to South Dakota, and we needed a way to do it. So we literally just bought this Expedition 2 weeks ago and decided to pull a camper 600 miles with it, like after a week of owning it, and I didn't know if it could handle it. The cat's licking your cheese.
God damn it.
Well, you're the one that just let her sit there on the table.
Oh, my God. Now I have to throw that cheese away.
You better not throw that cheese away.
Eat it, then.
It's a waste of three-year-aged...
Eat the mouse cheese. Eat the cat cheese.
I'll eat the cat cheese.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to let you waste it. This is three-year-aged cheddar.
Okay, you won't eat, like... Ew!
I broke off the piece.
You won't eat, like, ketchup and mayo, but you'll eat
Yeah,
because
that shit's disgusting.
That the cat licked. After
this
she
is
probably
delicious
just
cheese.
Licked her butthole.
This is delicious cheese, and the cat is.
So I guess that drowns out the butthole taste.
Probably the
huh?
cleanest member of our family.
I'm so. The cleanest member of this family. Then the cat. Then the kids. Then you.
Well, anyway, before I so rudely got sidetracked, for the drive there, we purchased some new travel or portable DVD players. They were on sale at Best Buy for $40 a piece, so we bought three of them. I was going to get the kind with like the dual screens that you could mount on the backs of the seats and blah, 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 blah. But these ones were on sale, and I figured this way we get three separate ones. Now they can all three watch separate movies instead of fighting the whole way about who gets to pick the next movie and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. What are you looking at on the screen?
Why did it say 140?
141. That's bars, dear.
put it in seconds if that makes it look better for you.
Thank you.
What, are you going to count down the minutes until we hit an hour so you can
That's
stop doing
bars,
this?
Dear. I hate when people say that.
Dear.
Dear.
So we bought these DVD players on sale, $40. The kids each got one. They got their own screen, and they got to pick their own movies, and it was a lifesaver for this trip, I think, because they were all just content sitting in their
Again,
own seats.
Yeah, because I had to change the DVD for them every 10
She's
minutes.
She's being dramatic. It was not that bad on the way there. I'll admit, the trip back was awful. The trip there was pretty tame for a 13-hour car ride with a 7-year-old and 2 4-year-olds.
13-hour car drive.
Did I say that? Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't care. Yeah, make fun all you want. It's fine. You need to speak into your microphone.
What'd you say the other day? Bread roll?
Yes. All right, let's just jump ahead to the end of the vacation. Just so you can make fun of me again. We're at Ponderosa Steakhouse in Wisconsin Dells because Ponderosa is like one of my favorite places to go just because it was always like my family's go-to for birthdays and stuff until they closed the one around us. What is it? Oh, your computer's freezing up. I think it's still recording though. We should still be good. But so we decided to go to the Ponderosa in Wisconsin Dells. And they had these really, like, delicious, yeasty, soft rolls. And I made the mistake of calling it a bread roll. I said something about, right as we were about to leave, I was like, oh, man, I wanted to get one of those bread rolls.
Who the fuck says bread
roll? And she fucking laid into me for, like, 10 minutes.
Bread roll? Did you just call it a bread roll?
Yeah, it's a bread roll. That is exactly what you sound like. I mean, I'm sure people think they're listening to you.
Didn't I actually, like, yell at you?
Yeah. Yeah, she sat at the table and yelled at me for calling it a bread roll to the point where I literally just had to get up and walk out of the restaurant. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, I'm at the car waiting for them to come out. And she sends the kids running after me, coming up to me and saying, Dad, what's a bread roll?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
This is my lovely wife. Thank you. So anyway, yeah, the portable DVD players, if you don't have them for your car and you're going on a car trip with the kids, I highly recommend getting them. There's some very cheap options nowadays. The ones with the dual screens are convenient because you only have to change half the amount of discs.
Well, and I would really suggest getting something that the kids aren't holding.
Yeah, the ones we got are like the laptop style flip open, and the girls kept messing with theirs and pushing buttons on.
Mark broke his.
Mark broke his pretty early into the trip, which it's still usable, but you have to hold the lid down on it, and that's kind of a pain in the ass. But
you don't have to hold it down, but I mean, like, there's nothing really holding it on.
But anyway, portable DVD players—they're a lifesaver if you have a long car trip. But yeah, so we traveled to Yankton, South Dakota.
Yankton.
Actually, I make fun, but it actually was pretty scenic. I was very surprised. The scenery was gorgeous. We were staying like at a resort right on what we thought was a lake, but it was actually a river that's dammed. So the one side of the river where we were camping was a lot higher than the other side of the river. But it was beautiful. I mean, the park was beautiful. The resort was beautiful. Across the river, I guess, was which the river was the Nebraska-South Dakota state line.
Mm-hmm.
So right across the river, we could see we could see Nebraska. And there was, like, I wouldn't say a mountain face, but the other side was real hilly and, like, with cliffs and stuff on it. It was really cool looking, rock formations and stuff. It was a nice park, and we had a nice time at the family reunion. It was, again, it was kind of uneventful. There wasn't, I guess, not that much to talk about if you're not interested in, like, family reunion
Nobody's
type stuff. But I guess the takeaways from the family reunion were I got sunburned the first day, which was...
He's a freaking idiot.
Yeah, well, so...
First day of the vacation. We're gone for a week. First day of the vacation. He gets sunburned.
So I set up our chairs in the shade when we went to the beach with the kids. I made sure to sunscreen the kids, and then I just sat in the shade for a little bit. And then I got in the water with them for a little bit, and the water was kind of murky. So as I'm in the water, I didn't feel the sun hitting me at all. So I don't, I'm still not sure if that's when I got burnt, was when I was in the water, or if it was when I got out. When I got out and sat back down in my chair, at that point, the shade had moved on. I was no longer...
What?
The sun had moved a little bit. And
you said the shade moved on.
Well, yeah, the sun moved, therefore the shade moved. And the chairs were no longer in the shade, but I didn't realize it right away. And I didn't feel like I was sitting there that long.
You were red in the water.
But I was also drinking a little bit when we were on the beach, so I kind of didn't feel... I wasn't feeling any pain right away.
That's something we can talk about. I drank the whole reunion.
Yeah, you were a trooper. I only drank like 2 days out of the vacation, and the rest of the time I was like in too much pain to want to drink, so I was drinking a lot of water, which actually was probably pretty good for me. But
2 or 3 days straight, I was either drinking mimosas or Seagram's.
Yeah, those,
all
day. Those wine coolers.
Yum.
But yeah, there was a lot of booze over the vacation. Let's see. Oh, yeah. One of the highlights of the family reunion, when we were sitting in the camper one day, which, by the way, we camped at the family reunion, if you didn't gather that part. We were sitting in the camper one day. Mark looked at me, and I was sitting there without a shirt. And Mark says, out of nowhere, he says, "Dad, your boobs look like mouths." Yeah. And then Scarlett was standing there, so she got up. And well, she was sitting there, and she got up, and she came and looked at me, and then she says, "Dad, your boobs look like this." And I know obviously this is an audio podcast, so you can't see the face I'm making, but I took a picture of the face she was showing me, which if you go on our Facebook page, I uploaded a bunch of pictures to our family reunion 2018 album. And if you scan through, you can find a picture of Scarlett making a face with her tongue sticking out. That was, if you find that one, that was her example of what my boobs look like, was this.
Was it there at the water park that?
That was the water park. Let's
okay.
Save that.
Okay.
Yeah, I already know what you're going to say. yeah, let's save dicks. That. Let's save that one. Also, during our family reunion trip, I decided kind of early on that the theme of our family vacation, and realistically, this was for no reason whatsoever. It came up on a playlist that we were playing the whole way to South Dakota, and there was a song. If any of you are familiar with Primus, they have a song called "Too Many Puppies," which, like I said, it came up on our playlist because I enjoy the song, so I added it to our playlist, and. It comes up randomly, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get the kids singing this by the end of the trip. So I played it nonstop when we were in the car, and you know what? By the end of the vacation, they were asking for it, and they were singing it. Scarlett today was walking around the house singing "Too Many Puppies" by Primus, and I've never been prouder. So that was the theme of our family vacation, was "Too Many Puppies." So go ahead and look that song up and give it a listen. You'll enjoy it. Okay, Ashley has no comment about the "too many puppies" thing, I guess, but...
No, not really.
Oh, cool. This is good listens. Good listenings.
What am I supposed to say?
I don't know. Something. I'm dying here. You gotta help me out.
Yeah. Trying to think of anything else good that happened at the family reunion.
No, you know... We did typical family reunion stuff. Typical for my family, anyway. I have a family reunion every 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's most of the time in South Dakota because a lot of my family is originally from South Dakota. And a lot of them are still there. Or if they're not there, they're in Minnesota or Colorado or somewhere else that's not crazy far from South Dakota. Which I guess... I don't know geography that well, so I don't know how far Colorado is from South Dakota, but they made it sound like it's not that far of a drive. That's my my Uncle Jerry and his family, and actually Christy, the one that planned the reunion. I'm talking to Ashley now. None of you guys care, but...
Okay. We stayed at the Lewis and Clark Resort.
Yes.
If anybody's ever in South Dakota.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
In the town of Yankton, South Dakota, they have the Lewis and Clark Resort, which has... like motel rooms, and it has cabins. And then right next to it is the Lewis and Clark Recreation Center, which has the campsites.
Well, and it has everything. You have it, campsites, you got cabins, you have almost like hotel rooms.
Yeah, you know exactly what I just said, but yeah, go ahead and repeat it in another way. But yeah, I was going up there expecting it to be just like a dirty, rundown state park kind of, but it was really well maintained. It was very clean.
They have little parks.
Yeah, there's playgrounds. Everywhere. There's a swimming pool. There's a couple of beaches. We rented out the lodge building for the whole weekend, and the lodge was huge, and it fit my whole family in there for meals and stuff.
The lodge had rooms in it.
Yeah, the lodge had bedrooms in it that you could stay in. It was a really nice place, a really nice trip, and you know, my cousin Christy did a really nice job putting this reunion together. So if anybody's ever looking to vacation to
South Dakota,
where there's tons to do, if you want to just get away for a little while and just have a nice relaxing weekend, this would be a good place to do it. It's only supposed to be a 9-hour drive from where we are in Northwest Indiana, but it ended up being closer to 13 had frequent gas stops and Chris, potty stops.
You know, being scared to drive.
I couldn't get the truck to go up to 70 miles an hour. The whole drive should have been 70 miles an hour, but I couldn't get there with the camper behind us.
It's time for Brews with Dudes. Ah, juicy.
And welcome to episode 38 of Brews with Dudes. I'm your host, Nick Maxson, sitting here with...
Mr. Austin Hill.
And we're pretty fucking excited. Austin, you've been on the show a million times?
About 1.2 million.
Awesome. This is our first time doing it live. We've done it at a couple different breweries. But this is the first time that we're going to sit here and give it right to you, right as we're getting into it.
And if you're watching and you want to talk to us, give us a second, because we're going to have to...
Yeah, it's going to be hard for us to read. Again, I think you guys understand this is the first time we've done this, so you're just going to have to bear with us.
Yeah, and if you're watching, share, invite your friends, ask questions. We'll answer as best as we possibly can while we enjoy some good brews.
All right, so without further ado, Austin, do you want to introduce the first beer of the night?
First beer of the night is a fresh off the press today from 450 is today's 450 release we're going to go through, and we're starting off with the Neon Nuggets. Right up in your face.
Give it the twist. Go down a little bit. Let me see the whole can.
Ooh. It is.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful. It is a double dry hopped, double IPA, Citra, Centennial, and Vic Secret hops. Going to put this mic down so I can pour these brews up.
We're going to find out what Vic's secret is tonight, I'm telling you what. So what do we have? We have five different beers tonight. We've got the Juice Busters, I believe that's what it's called. Also, the Piece of Cake, Black Forest or something like
Black
that?
Black Forest Piece of Cake?
That's a super cool name.
It's a cherry chocolate stout.
It just sounds amazing. I made the comment that this is the first in their series of cake stouts. And it just so happened to release the day before my birthday. And I usually don't like cake, but I have a feeling I'm going to like this cake. So, how are we doing on that?
On it.
Got a couple people watching. Thank you guys for checking in.
Thank you for checking in. Ooh, somebody said something, but it's sideways. Oh, no, that's it talking to us, maybe.
Got a nice color on this one. So, if you're at home, if you're drinking anything, let's all cheers together.
Cheers up.
My goodness, that's juicy.
Ooh, that is actually much better than anticipated. This is one I was least worried about getting on today's release, and quite a pleasant surprise.
It kind of gave me that zap in the mouth that you'd expect if you were ingesting neon.
Is that Vic's secret in there?
Maybe that's Vic's secret. Is that he's gonna give you a zap?
Yeah, really. I tasted the citrus right up front, but
smells very hoppy.
Oh, Miss Tia Wright says, happy early birthday to you, Mr. Nick.
Thank you, Tia. This is, what is it, 10:53, so we're about an hour away from it. The big 27.
Big 27.
All the rock stars die when they're 27.
All the good ones, anyway.
That's true.
Unless you're hitting legendary level, then you wait a little longer.
Then somehow all your drug usage just carries you on for decades.
Like Ozzy. Keith Richards.
That's true. There's lots of really good examples.
No. Speaking of dead legends, I'm actually going to be checking out the David Bowie Experience at the Vogue tomorrow in Indy.
Mm. Mr. Bowie.
Mr. Bowie.
I just received in the mail the other day the documentary on death. I don't know really exactly what it covers, if it's like the history of the band or if it's just more like a Chuck Schuldiner thing, but I'm very excited one way or another. I think Chuck definitely falls into the category of legendary. He might have made it past 27, I'm not sure. But he didn't make it as long as he needed to.
Pardon me a second, I'm logging in with my Facebook account so I can share away on this. Because
what if anybody listening, even if you haven't commented yet, I'm going to try to get you to. What's the best beer that you've been drinking lately? I just had the Podfather, Nate Phillips. He asked me the other day about the KBS from Founders. He said he remembered us talking about it. I love it when people ask me about beer.
Oh, yeah. I always enjoy having people ask me about it. Sometimes I have to remember exactly what it was, go back and look at my can bank or my picture bank of what I'd been drinking so I can remember exactly what it was.
It's funny. Our buddy Evan, Evan Brown, shout out from Fort Wayne, who we actually met at a 450 release. I feel like he remembers beers that I drank and my opinion on the beers sometimes more than I do.
We actually had a conversation with him, and he brought up our opinion on it and then matched his opinion to it. And we were like, what?
What are you talking about, Evan? Damn.
Evan, you're such a super fan.
He picked up some of these beers for me at the release today because I was unable to make it. So gave me another excuse to go up to Fort Wayne, as if I need another excuse.
Oh, just plenty of excuses to go to Fort Wayne.
We went to, what was it, a couple days ago. Austin and I went up for the Guar show, and we stopped at Matt Anthony's before. We just did a Matt Anthony's tap takeover at the North End Pub not too long ago.
Yeah, just maybe a month ago?
About that. And that was a lot of fun, but there was they had a couple decent beers at the brewery that we weren't able to get.
Oh, yeah. They had flights of six, which was awesome because we went in expecting only five, and he ordered his first four, and they're like, oh, no, what else do you want? And he goes, oh, I get five. Then she surprised us with six.
Yeah, I got a fun array. I'm not going to try to remember them all, but I remember us both specifically. I was like, I had two stouts, two IPAs, and two fruity.
Yes, and then I just picked all over the place. I read the names in a quick read at the first sentence of what it was, and I just went through and tried to give myself a good array. I actually did not get a stout because it sounded like to me when you're ordering, you got a very stout-heavy flight, and I didn't want to mirror yours too much.
Who do we have there? Oh, hey there, Dane.
Hello, Dane.
Welcome.
Cheers to you.
So what do we want to get into next?
I don't know. Oh, to give another point on this, since it's live, we started off with a heavy hitter, double IPA, 8% alcohol by volume. Neon Nuggets right here. If you're just tuning in, this is what we're currently drinking on. Hey, what's up?
It's so hard to see. We're so bad at this, guys. Bear with us.
Yeah, we got to look in close to the phone because it's on a...
It's on a tripod.
It's on a broken just mic stand.
Right out of reach. Ugh. That's the beauty of doing it live. We actually were hoping to be able to give what I called the Joe Rogan experience. We rented some live streaming equipment that's Very extensive. Every time I try to explain it, I feel like I blow it, so I won't try now. But it gives us the ability to get multiple camera angles and be able to switch between them while live streaming.
And they'd all be synced up at the same time, so you wouldn't have weird camera lag. And it'd be great for recording live anything, especially if you're not just streaming live. You can stream live with them, but it's also set up to where
you can just record it.
You can just record and go, and it takes a lot of the video editing work out of it because you can have, say, five cameras going at the same time, all synced up, recording at the same time, so you don't have to worry about finding your time points.
You can if you've got them all synced up, you can just press play, or you can press record, and it starts all the cameras at once. So we spent, three fucking hours trying to get that to work?
Yeah.
We just gave up.
They lacked the instruction manual on it, so we spent a couple hours.
They didn't send us an instruction manual.
They're like, here's this stuff, this is what it can do, and
good luck figuring it out. We could have figured it out, but who do we got there? Who's joining?
That's Patrick Bradley is watching, but Dave Sturgeon asked, have you guys had Scarlet Lane Whorehound Ale? Yes,
oh, yes,
I have.
I think I had that at, I think they had it at the 450 Corn Maze last year.
I got it shortly after the event it was brewed for, Whorehound event.
Have you been to Whorehound?
I have not been to Whorehound yet, but I was actually able to find it at Payless like 2 weeks after Whorehound, and I picked up a four pack right there, and it was quite tasty.
Every time I say Whorehound, people think I'm saying Whorehound. That's not it. Are you going next? Is it next month, Dane? Is it next month or the month after? The one in Indy? I think I'm going to go. I haven't been in a couple years now. So sad. Why don't you reach in that cooler and let's find ourselves another beverage.
Let's find it. Oh, not another neon. Just had that.
We were going to just each drink a full 16 ounce of all these, but then we decided
we're drinking five, yeah. And by the time get to the fourth one, we're going to be drunk.
He will be there. I will see you there, my friend. We'll have to find some good beers to drink.
Oh, so we got what we got left still. We got Juice Busters, which is another double dry hop, double IPA. So we'll save that one. Then we have
a milkshake and a Slurpee.
We got a milkshake and a Slurpee. We're going to save the piece of cake because you always save your cake for last.
Save the cake for last.
And let's go with this. Let's go with this fresh fruit milkshake infused with blackberry and vanilla.
Blackberry and vanilla. Why don't we should give the glasses a quick rinse.
Here's that, if you're wondering. It's got a very happy blackberry on it.
Would you like to do the honors while I do a quick network plug?
Yes.
Be right back. So we are, Breeze with Dudes is on the Journey into Comics network. We got 9 shows on right now, I believe, on the main network. We got a couple shows that air bi-weekly, I believe. We're working on our second show. It's not a beer-related show, and I'm sure most people wouldn't be too surprised to hear that it's going to be a metal-related show, so stand by for that. I'm pretty excited about that. Shout out to the Podfather, Nate Phillips, host of Journey into Comics, for all that you do. Thank you to Dr. Dongo, too, for always editing these podcasts for me in the middle of the night, just several hours before they're supposed to air, like we're getting ready to do again. What time is it? 11:02. And this is tomorrow's episode, so thanks again, guys. You're great.
Welcome to the VIP access of Brews with Dudes.
Right. Maybe we should make this a Patreon exclusive thing. We'll see how it goes first. We'll do it a couple times, see if people care enough.
Well, currently we have Nick and myself that shared this, but unless you're not, if you're not following the Brews with Dudes page, you're not seeing this. So it kind of is a Patreon exclusive.
It will be. I'll make sure I invite you to the metal podcast when it becomes a thing, Patrick. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it'll be more more structured. I feel like this show we kind of just go totally off the cuff. But I'm excited. It'll be fun. I'm excited about this bad boy. How many milkshakes have they done now? Maybe 5 or 6?
I want to say 5 or 6.
They had the blueberry, the pineapple, the mango, the strawberry, the blackberry.
Blackberry. Is it 4 now? Because they did. Yeah, I want to say it is 4 because they doubled up on the mango and the pineapple. Because they did the mango first, then they did the pineapple, and then they came out with
mango, pineapple, strawberry, blackberry, blueberry.
They came out with the blueberry, and then they came back to pineapple and mango.
They've definitely, I feel like they did mango and pineapple like a while ago before they decided to start doing this series. I'm not sure. I'm very interested about this one. I love 450 to death, but they're hit and miss with these milkshakes for me. Sometimes they need that extra week in the can to get where you want it.
Yeah, that's how we were with the blueberry. We drank that one first, like right away, and we were just
very whiny.
And it was wine. a little too tart for the milkshake that we had grown to expect from all the other milkshakes they brought out. And Nick and I went to Dark Lord Day, which was, a month after the release, maybe?
I think so.
And I had happened to take one of mine I still had left over with, and we didn't end up drinking it that day, but we got back after Dark Lord, and we were like, oh, we could go for, like, one more beer before we call it tonight. And I'm like, hey, let's have that blueberry. And it was good. And we were all hating on it at first, and it was good. So... cheers
to this one. If you're drinking at home, cheers up.